She had a million followers, a million-dollar smile, and a message that resonated with thousands. Own your pleasure, live your truth. To her audience, Dr. Sasha Ray was a radiant force of sexual liberation. An online sex coach who blended therapy, tantra, and empowerment into one irresistible package. Her digital retreats sold out in minutes. Her podcast climbed the charts. Clients flew across the world to be in her private presence. But none of them knew what really happened once the door closed. Hidden cameras, coerced confessions, anonymous uploads. Behind her empowering brand lay a twisted empire of exploitation. And the people who trusted her most? They were nothing more than content. One former client disappeared. Another attempted suicide. And one woman, the one who saw too much, decided to fight back. What happens when the person you trust with your deepest secrets is the one weaponizing them against you? And how far will someone go when pleasure becomes profit? So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1 and The Coach Who Changed Everything. Ella Marquez never considered herself the type to follow an online sex coach. She was 34, recently divorced, and still unpacking the trauma of a marriage that had hollowed her out piece by piece. Her ex-husband, Nate, had left her feeling like she was too much and not enough. Too emotional, not sexy enough. Too demanding, not spontaneous enough. In bed, she'd been a ghost. It started one night in bed with a glass of wine and a YouTube scroll. The algorithm brought her a video titled, "Unblock Your Orgasm in 3 Steps, Dr. Sasha Ray." Something about the thumbnail, just a woman in a soft silk robe, looking calmly into the camera, made Ella click. Sasha's voice was immediately disarming, smooth, rich, controlled. She talked about the science of arousal, the emotional weight of shame, the myths around pleasure. But more than the content, it was the tone. It was like Sasha was speaking directly to Ella's broken parts. By the end of the 14-minute video, Ella was in tears and subscribed. The next day, she followed Sasha on Instagram. Her sued over hidden recordings, exploitation allegations. From Tantra to Trauma, the Rise and Fall of Sasha Ray. Public opinion began to shift. Influencers who once shared Sasha's videos deleted their endorsements. A popular podcast episode titled "Empowered by Sasha" was pulled. Articles that had praised her sex-positive innovation were now flagged with editor's notes. But Sasha wasn't silent this time. A week after the lawsuit went public, she uploaded a video to Vimeo titled "The Witch Hunt Against Women Who Heal." She sat in candlelight, cloaked in a shawl, framed by crystals and incense smoke. "I was never given a fair voice," she began. "I've been tried in the court of gossip and internet hysteria. But the truth is this. Everything I've done was consensual, intentional, and sacred. Those attacking me are projecting their own wounds. I am a mirror. I am not your enemy." She spoke of karmic contracts and divine exposure. She never once denied the existence of the videos. And at the end, she smiled and said, "You can't cancel a consciousness that's ascended." The comments were disabled. Back in California, Mika received a message from a man named Ezra, former videographer and ex-lover of Sasha Ray. They met in a parking lot in Topanga Canyon. Ezra wore sunglasses and a hoodie, clearly paranoid, glancing over his shoulder as if expecting Sasha to appear. "I used to believe in her," he said. But then I saw what she really was. He handed Mika a hard drive. Everything's on here. The raw sessions, the backups, the pay rates, even the DMs with buyers. The files included over 120 video sessions, most with unblurred faces, a customer list, including usernames and crypto handles, conversations between Sasha and her assistant about compliant clients. One text thread read, "Sasha, she'll fold. Just flatter her. Tell her she's divine." Assistant, "She's already talking about a group share." Sasha, "Perfect. Get it on camera." With the drive in hand, Mika contacted the FBI again, this time with irrefutable proof. The agency moved faster now. A federal investigation was opened into sex trafficking, cyber exploitation, and conspiracy to distribute non-consensual pornography. Interpol issued a red notice. Sasha Ray, aka Simone Reyes, was now officially wanted. In Portugal, Sasha had already moved again, this time to a wellness enclave in the Canary Islands, using yet another alias, Dr. Celine Ray. But she made one mistake. She trusted someone new, an undercover Interpol agent, posing as a spiritual influencer. Booked a session with her and gained access to her Airbnb-turned-retreat space. Inside, he saw the same setup. Velvet cushions, ring lights, altar candles, and a hidden GoPro embedded in the ceiling beam. When Sasha offered him a waiver to sign, he asked a simple question. "Is this recorded?" Her reply was chilling. "Only for your evolution." 2 hours later, agents raided the location. Sasha attempted to flee through a back door, but was apprehended without incident. On her, they found 3 phones, a flash drive, and $15,000 in euros. She was extradited to the U.S. under sealed charges. The trial began 8 months later. The courtroom was packed with media, survivors, and former fans. Sasha, dressed in minimalist beige, showed no emotion. Her lawyer argued that all acts were consensual, and clients had signed waivers. He painted her as a visionary healer crucified by a puritanical society. But the evidence spoke louder. The videos, the texts, the whistleblower memos, the hard drive, and most powerful of all, Ella's testimony. "I came to her broken," Ella said, voice shaking. "She told me I was safe, that I was sacred. But she didn't heal me. She filmed me. She made me content. She made me a product." The jury deliberated for 3 days. Sasha was found guilty on 4 counts. Unlawful recording of intimate acts, distribution of non-consensual pornography, wire fraud, conspiracy to commit cyber exploitation. She was sentenced to 12 years in federal prison. Her followers splintered. Some claimed the system silenced her. Others apologized to the survivors. Ella left the courtroom exhausted but lighter. "It wasn't just about her," she told Mika. "It was about all the people who think abuse wrapped in candles and consent is still healing." The dark web site was eventually shut down, its database seized and archived by authorities. Over 60 victims were notified. Several civil suits were settled out of court. Mika released a documentary, Silk and Chains, The Rise and Fall of Sasha Ray, which won an investigative journalism award and aired globally. Ella became an advocate, launching a support group for women exploited under the guise of spiritual therapy. Jody moved out of LA and started a small art therapy retreat in New Mexico. "With no cameras," she often joked. "And Sasha?" She filed a handwritten appeal from prison, claiming wrongful conviction. It was denied. But deep in Reddit forums, whispers remained. A new coach, a new name, a familiar style. Because some predators don't retire, they just rebrand. Stories were filled with affirmations and journal prompts. Her captions invited followers to step into sovereignty and reclaim sacred sensuality. It didn't feel sexual in a cheap way. It felt like therapy with glitter and candles. 3 days later, she paid $499 for The Velvet Rebirth, a 6-week group coaching program. Sasha promised intimacy, community, and deep self-work. Ella filled out the intake form with honesty she'd never spoken aloud. And within 24 hours, she was invited into a private Telegram group with 38 other women. It started innocently. Voice notes, meditation links, assignments like, write a love letter to your body. But Sasha was a master at weaving intensity into intimacy. By week 2, she introduced radical exposure, a practice of vulnerability through visuals. Participants were encouraged to post photo journals documenting their emotional and physical healing. Shame dissolves when light hits it, Sasha wrote. Let others witness the parts you hide. Ella hesitated. But after seeing others share semi-nude mirror selfies with poetic captions, this belly carried pain and now breathed peace, she gave in. She posted a photo in just her underwear, arms folded, with the caption, learning to soften into myself again. The response was euphoric. Hearts, fire emojis. Yes, queen. Sasha herself replied, you are rising. Keep going. Ella felt seen, wanted, empowered. The next night, Sasha messaged her privately. You're doing beautifully. I see something in you. Would you be open to deeper work, just us? Ella stared at the screen, her heart pounding. Sasha was selecting her? She replied, yes, what would that look like? Sasha explained it was a 2-day deep release intensive. Limited to select clients, it would take place in person at Sasha's private loft in Los Angeles. The cost, $6,000. It's more than a session, she explained. It's a rewiring. Ella hesitated. That was her savings. But something in her burned to be chosen, to be remade. She transferred the money. 2 weeks later, she boarded a flight from Phoenix to L.A. The loft was nothing like Ella expected. From the Instagram photos, she'd imagined light wood, gauzy curtains, crystals and flowers. Instead, the building was industrial, steel and glass. Inside, the scent of sandalwood and jasmine hit her like a wave. The lighting was low, the walls deep burgundy, and floor-length mirrors faced the massage table in the center of the room. Sasha greeted her barefoot in a cream kimono. Her smile was effortless, her energy grounded, magnetic. She spoke softly as she handed Ella a ginger tea, then walked her through the intention-setting ritual. You're safe here. Everything that leaves your body stays sacred, she said, holding Ella's hands. She presented a waiver, a dense 3-page form titled Client Empowerment Agreement. Sasha skimmed it aloud. Confidentiality, consent, no refunds. Just formality. You'll sign dozens of these in L.A., she said with a wink. Ella signed. They spent the first hour talking. Sasha asked about Nate, about Ella's father, about her body. Then she gave her a silk robe and asked her to undress. Ella hesitated. Remember, Sasha said, power begins where fear ends. Ella nodded and changed behind the screen. What followed felt like a therapy session crossed with a spiritual initiation. Sasha guided her through breathing exercises, applied oils to her skin, touched her in ways that were clinical and sacred, until they weren't. There was a moment, a subtle shift, when Sasha's hand moved from guiding to lingering, when her gaze went from supportive to possessive. But Ella was frozen in the space between fear and fascination. At the end of the night, Sasha held her close, whispered, "You are whole," and tucked her into a soft floor mattress. Ella cried herself to sleep. When she returned home, she felt raw, stripped, but also alive. Sasha texted her daily for the next week, voice notes, affirmations, nudges to journal. Then suddenly, silence. Ella checked the Telegram group. It was gone. Her login no longer worked. She emailed Sasha. No reply. She called. Voicemail. She DM'd her on Instagram. Seen. Unanswered. Her stomach sank. Had she done something wrong? Then, 3 weeks later, her friend Dana sent her a Reddit link. Is this you? She asked. Ella clicked the link. The thread was titled, Deep Web Tantra Series. Real Clients. The video was 37 minutes long. The quality was crystal clear. Ella's face, her voice, her body, on display. Labeled only as New Initiate, not 44. She screamed, dropped her phone, threw up. She tried closing the tab but couldn't. She needed to be wrong. She watched again. The mirror in the background. She remembered it. The exact angle. The moment Sasha whispered into her ear. This wasn't filmed with a phone. It was a mounted camera. Hidden. Deliberate. Her skin crawled. She checked the waiver. Scanned every line. Buried on page 2, in smaller font. Client agrees to release all recorded visual and audio content to the coach for educational, promotional, or training purposes in perpetuity. The phrase recorded content screamed at her. She called her lawyer cousin Mateo. He read the document and went silent. This is airtight, he finally said. She used the word coach, not therapist. She didn't promise privacy. And you signed. Ella's hands trembled. So she can just sell this? She's walking a legal razor's edge, he said. But technically, you consented. That night, Ella sat in the dark, watching other videos in the thread. One labeled Group Session with Sasha R. Another, Sasha's favorite new toy. Different women. Same loft. Same energy. Some of their faces were blurred. Others weren't. Ella recognized one of them. A woman named Jody from the Telegram group. She found Jody on Instagram and sent a DM. It's Ella, from Velvet Rebirth. Please tell me I'm not crazy. Jody replied within minutes. You're not crazy. She did it to me too. Let's talk. Chapter 2. Bodies for Sale. Ella and Jody's first phone call lasted 3 hours. They'd never met in person. But within minutes, the bond between them formed like a lifeline tossed across a chasm. Both had flown to Sasha's Los Angeles loft. Both had trusted her, and both had been violated. Jody's voice was sharper, angrier, seasoned by time and rage. She films everyone, always has. Some of the girls don't even know they were recorded until years later, if ever. You're one of the lucky ones, Ella. Lucky? Ella choked. She sold me like a product. Jody took a breath. I know. That's why I've been collecting evidence. I've got screenshots, chat logs, video links, IP traces. Sasha isn't just a coach. She's a predator in lace robes. Jody had discovered the truth months earlier. A friend of hers, another former client, had attempted suicide after discovering her private session on a subscription-only dark website. Jody hadn't even known such places existed until then. I thought it was one sick leak, Jody said. But the deeper I dug, the more I found. Sasha's involved in something way bigger. She emailed Ella a spreadsheet she called The Archive. Over 60 entries of names, dates, session types, cross-linked to known leaks, some tagged with terms like chakra drain ritual or first-time initiate. Ella stared in horror. She wasn't number 44. She was number 317. The two women agreed to meet in Los Angeles the following weekend. Jody picked the location, an anonymous co-working space near Santa Monica, under the guise of a wellness brand meeting. She arrived first, her laptop already open, her expression fierce. Ella looked worn down, no makeup, oversized hoodie, hands trembling. But her eyes were determined. "Is she still doing this?" she asked. Jody nodded. "Weekly. She moved locations last month, now uses an Airbnb in Echo Park under a different name. She has proxies now. Young women who assist her. They probably don't even know what they're part of." Together, they outlined a plan. Build a dossier. A complete case. Take it to someone who could expose Sasha on a scale that mattered. Legal action was dicey. Sasha's contracts were written in legalese that left wide room for content ownership. And because most women had technically consented during rituals, pursuing charges would be nearly impossible without proving manipulation or non-consensual filming. Hard to do when the footage was erased, obfuscated, or hidden behind dark web paywalls. But Jody had an idea. "There's someone who might care more about truth than legality," she said. That someone was Mika Roth, a well-known investigative journalist with a reputation for tackling cults and fringe healers. Her 2019 podcast, Spiritual Wounds, had unraveled the inner workings of a tantric cult in Ojai, California, and led to two arrests and the shuttering of a multi-million dollar retreat center. Jody had emailed her last year. No response. But now, with Ella's story and the archive, she had leverage. They reached out together with a new subject line. "Sasha Ray is filming and selling women. We have proof." Mika replied within hours. They met 2 days later at a cafe in Pasadena. Mika, in her mid-40s, wore no makeup, her salt-and-pepper hair tied back in a bun. She listened for 2 straight hours, asked sharp questions, requested access to the archive, and never once promised an outcome. But before she left, she said, "If even half of this is true, this is one of the most sophisticated grooming operations I've ever seen. She doesn't just exploit shame, she weaponizes trust." That night, Mika began digging. Within a week, she found 14 more videos linked to Sasha Ray's known client list. Some were clearly branded. Others used pseudonyms. But the loft background matched, the mirrors, the arrangement of pillows, the tantric altar. She traced Sasha's LLC to a Nevada shell company. The business manager listed. A 23-year-old who lived in Ohio and had no idea her name was attached to the brand. Her identity had been used to create legal insulation. More disturbing still, Mika uncovered evidence of cryptocurrency payments linked to the same wallet that once paid for Sasha's podcast hosting. The same wallet now received monthly deposits from an adult content hosting network on the dark web. The payouts ranged from 9,000 dosloon to $32,000 per month. "She's not just an abuser," Mika said during their second meeting. "She's a mogul." As Mika prepped her article, Sasha was still posting daily content. On Instagram, she shared quotes about self-devotion and healing through surrender. Her podcast continued, untouched. One episode aired just days after Mika contacted her via burner email. "The Myth of Betrayal. What Your Wounds Are Teaching You." It was like a slap in the face. Mika pitched the piece to several platforms. Most were hesitant. Sasha had a massive following. There was no formal police report. And the gray area between sex coaching and exploitation made media outlets nervous. So Mika self-published on Substack. The Pleasure Predator, Dr. Sasha Ray's Hidden Tapes. Within 12 hours, it had 40,000 reads. Within 24, it went viral. Reddit caught fire. Survivors came out of the woodwork. Comments poured in, hundreds of them. Some praised Mika. Others defended Sasha. Many told stories of their own sessions, the eerie similarities, the emotional whiplash of adoration turned to silence. And then, the threats began. Mika's inbox flooded with anonymous messages, some mocking, others chilling. You're next. You ruined sacred healing for fame. Do you even know who funds her? Ella received DMs from fake accounts. Think twice before making noise. Jody's car window was smashed, but the story kept spreading. By week two, media outlets couldn't ignore it. Rolling Stone reposted the piece. Vice requested an interview. Podcasts dissected the story. YouTubers built timelines and conspiracy charts. TikTok went wild. Then someone leaked another video. Not from Sasha's site, but from her personal archive. A session never before posted. The woman in the video had died by suicide last year. The footage was dated 3 weeks before her death. The video title? Ritual of Reclamation, Final Initiate. The internet erupted. It was no longer just about exploitation. It was about potential criminal negligence. The public demanded answers. Facing mounting pressure, Sasha finally broke her silence. She posted a 15-minute video titled, The Truth About Empowerment. Dressed in white, bathed in soft light, she looked calm, almost beatific. These attacks against me are rooted in patriarchal fear of liberated women, she said. My sessions are consensual. My work is sacred. I am being crucified for healing others. If you watch those videos, ask yourself, who is truly violating trust? The comments were split. Some declared her a goddess under siege. Others called her a monster. Instagram removed the video for violating its misinformation policy. Sasha went dark again. Behind the scenes, Mika, Ella, and Jody worked with a digital forensics team to compile a full data packet, video signatures, crypto trails, metadata from leaked files. It was circumstantial, but strong. They approached the FBI's cybercrimes division through a known contact of Mika's. After two meetings and a sworn affidavit from Jody, the agency opened an inquiry. Still, nothing moved fast. Sasha hadn't broken clear federal law. Consent documents shielded her. Victims were afraid to testify. And her financials, though suspicious, were anonymized through crypto tumblers and offshore accounts. But then, something unexpected happened. An anonymous whistleblower from inside Sasha's inner circle came forward. They emailed Mika using a secure Dropbox. The contents? Raw, unedited video files with audio commentary from Sasha. A spreadsheet with aliases and session times linked to payment receipts. Voice memos of Sasha mocking her clients. One stood out, "They think I'm healing them. I'm harvesting them." The final nail. Mika published a follow-up. Harvested inside the mind of Dr. Sasha Ray. This time there was no ambiguity. Screenshots, audio clips, time-stamped files. A full expose. Instagram banned Sasha's account. Her podcast was removed from Spotify. Her website crashed from overload and went offline within 24 hours. But Sasha, she vanished. Her downtown loft was vacated. The lease terminated. No forwarding address. Her LLC dissolved. She was nowhere to be found. Until a travel blogger posted a seemingly innocent video on TikTok from a tantra retreat in Portugal. In the background, just a glimpse, a woman walked by. Same eyes, same energy. "She's here," the comment section said, "under a new name." Jody recognized the bracelet. The story wasn't over. Chapter 3. The Unmasking. The woman in the background wore a white linen robe, her hair swept into a loose bun, beaded bracelets trailing down her wrist. She moved quickly, glancing away from the camera as she disappeared behind a gauze curtain. It could have been anyone, except for one detail. The bracelet. Jody had seen it before, in one of Sasha's own videos from 2 years ago. A string of amethyst and obsidian beads, fastened by a carved ivory crescent moon. Custom made, Sasha had once told her during their integration call. No one else wore it. Jody knew because she had searched the same shop trying to find one like it. Now that bracelet was in Portugal. The travel blogger who posted the TikTok tagged the location. Vale do Sol, Tantra Rebirth Retreat near Algezur, a quiet coastal town where European digital nomads practiced yoga, grew kombucha, and hid from the chaos of the modern world. Ella and Jody stared at the footage in disbelief. "She didn't even change her face," Ella whispered. "She just changed continents." Mika contacted Portuguese authorities with a video and an outline of Sasha's known aliases. S.R. Ray, Sasha Ramirez, Simone Ash. She explained the growing list of victims, the potential for continued exploitation, and the mounting digital evidence. They responded with bureaucratic politeness. There was no arrest warrant, no formal charges, no official extradition request from the U.S. Without a formal criminal complaint filed and verified in Portugal, their hands were tied. They agreed to send officers to conduct an interview. Meanwhile, Sasha continued her retreat, advertised now under the name Simone Reyes, branding herself as a shadow doula and somatic alchemist. On Instagram, a new account appeared, Our Sacred Rebirth Reyes. It had only three posts, all captioned with vague spiritual affirmations and poetic references to trauma and rebirth. But her face, though filtered, was unmistakable. What shocked Ella most wasn't that Sasha had resurfaced. It was the comments. "You saved my marriage. Where can I book a session? Please do a U.S. tour again." Sasha hadn't lost everyone. She still had believers. That night, Jody received an email from an encrypted Proton mail address. The subject line, "You want war?" The message contained only one sentence. "Say one more word and you'll wish I only filmed you." Attached was a photo of Jody's front door. A camera zoomed in on her address, timestamped 90 minutes prior. Jody panicked. She called Mika, then Ella. She reported it to local police, who offered to patrol the area, but explained the email, while disturbing, wasn't a direct threat. There was little they could do, but now it was personal. Jody wasn't backing down. Ella, meanwhile, wrestled with a growing storm inside her. Shame, anger. But most of all, the need for justice. Not just for herself, but for the dozens of women still unaware they were victims. She contacted a pro bono legal group that specialized in sexual exploitation and privacy violations. They reviewed her documents, videos, and the original waiver. "There's a case here," said Attorney Alondra Graves. "Not criminal yet, but civil, absolutely." They prepared a class action lawsuit. Four women joined immediately, then six, then 11. Most requested anonymity. But Ella volunteered to go public. "If she wants to keep hiding, she can, but not behind my silence." The suit was filed in California Superior Court under the name Marquez et al. V. Sasha R. Ray Sacred Rebirth LLC. The filing made headlines. Sex coach